Hello everybody, so today I'm going to talk a bit about the modern issues of linear algebra when we have to deal with some highly parallel architectures. So this is a joint work with Karl Rupp and my advisor at the time of the internship when I started, Siegfried Silberherr, and my current MSc advisor, Xinteng Lin. Actually, I build libraries for linear algebra, and I guess everybody at some point who has to deal with linear algebra ends up using libraries because they are the fastest. So when we do libraries, we have to actually face some challenges. The first one is the architectural barrier. It's performance portability. Basically, if you make some highly optimized code for one architecture, then you can end up using it on another architectures, and it will be a disaster from a performance point of view. So we'll see that in a while. The second challenge is memory barrier. I'd like to take as an example GPUs that only have 1 gigabyte of RAM. So even if you had a node that has, say, 12 gigabytes, if you are using GPU, you will not be able to use the whole 12 gigabytes. So that's indeed a problem. And the final barrier, of course, is usability. Because if your library is too complicated to use, then of course nobody will use it. So there were several attempts for dealing with the architectural barrier. The most recent and probably most popular one, in my opinion, is OpenCL. OpenCL is quite, I think it's 4 years old language, and it contains both a low-level API to make calls from, let's say, C or C++ or Python or a lot of languages, and also a very low-level programming language, which is designed to make kernels, which are going to be executed on the parallel device. And it's compiled just in time, so it allows us to do a lot of very nice optimizations. The principle of OpenCL is that you only have to write your code once, and you can run it everywhere. It's absolute code portability. So for now, it's available on CPUs like ARM and Intel and AMD, mobile or not, GPUs, many integrated cores from Intel. And there is some program to make OpenCL SDKs for FPGAs by the Altera companies and DSPs by TI. So actually, it looks pretty good. Like you have one code and you can run it everywhere. It sounds kind of ideal. But here is what we did. So we had this good old matrix multiplication kernel. We wanted it to run on GPUs. So we designed a kernel for GTX 470, the Fermi architecture. We actually spent weeks designing it to keep the pace with Kublas 5. So it's quite a challenge, actually. It required one person to deeply dive into the architecture and write the code and debug it and optimize it and write it again and debug it again and like an infinite loop. And actually, we do get the same performance as Kublas. But then we build libraries, so we have some users who use some AMD hardware. Were we able to meet their demand? Quite not. Actually, we only get 60% of CLIMD Blast performance. So in this context, the users will just switch to CLIMD Blast. And then we were quite suicidal and decided to run it on a CPU because OpenCL is also compatible with CPU. And here is what we get. So it's pretty low performance. It's only 20%. Yes?
Is it SGIM or EGIM? Single precision or double?
It's double precision. Yeah, I should have written that. So we get awful performance on CPUs. So even though your code might be portable, it does not mean your performance will be portable at all. So there are several ways to deal with this. The first tedious approach is the manual approach. So you have to learn about the architecture, you have to write your code, you have to use some tools to debug it, to profile it, to optimize it. And then you have to go over some other stages of debugging and optimizations. And you have to do this for every single algorithm you have. And every time the new architecture comes out, you have to do it again. So actually, you have to hire, I think, several couple of persons that will do this for during all days. It's not the kind of work I would like to do. So the other approach we adopt here is an automatic approach. So what we do is that we build a compute kernel generator, and then basically this kernel generator takes as input some expression trees. And then for each expression trees, it can be matched with a particular linear algebra operation, let's say vector addition or matrix multiplication or matrix vector multiplication. For each one of these algorithms, we have parameterized kernels. That is, for example, if we're dealing with a matrix-matrix multiplication, we will have several parameters corresponding to block sizes to optimize it for the cache of the underlying hardware. And then we run an automatic tuning procedure to get the best parameters and hopefully get best performance. So the problem with the auto-tuning procedure is that it can lead to a potentially huge parameter space. So here is our parameterized kernel for the matrix-matrix multiplication problem. So we have a two-block stage, so big blocks and small blocks. So it's taken from the most up-to-date for the state-of-the-art performance optimized for AMD. And we thought it would be portable because having one block is just a special case. And it results in about 480,000 kernels. That's really a lot. So it's not really the purpose of this work because we were able to find some proper parameters for each of our kernels by restraining the parameter space, but it's an important area of future work. The worst problem is that actually the best parameters for a given kernel might not even lay in your empirical parameter space. That's a problem we faced when we wanted it to optimize for CPU. The optimized parameters are so different than the one for GPUs, then we had to manually tune our parameter space. So what results do we get here? So here's a revisited double precision GEMM problem. So we can see that we keep up the pace with NVIDIA GTX 470, and now we start to catch up with AMD CLAMD Blast, even though we're still quite below them. And quite surprisingly, we get reasonable performance on CPUs too. So now let's check for single precision. Now actually it gets better. We are able to beat CLAMD Blast on very big problems, but we lose some performance for NVIDIA hardware. And we still have some very good performance in CPUs that actually it's compared against the very optimized at assembly level Intel MK library. And by generating code and auto-tuning it, we can get about 85% of the performance, which is sufficient for most applications, considering it's open source and free software. So now, you might be thinking that these are very intensive tasks, and how does it compete on lower intensive tasks? So for the matrix vector multiplication problem, here we get, actually we use square matrix, so some kernels we compete against might not be optimized for square matrix, but the fact is that we do get, it's possible to get performance, and it's even possible to beat the untuned MKL libraries using OpenCL code. That's something I was really not convinced about at first, and I had to double or triple check the results because the first time you use OpenCL, you end up having very poor performance on CPUs. But the point is that you can get some good performance. And yeah, we also get very good performance on AMD hardware and also NVIDIA hardware. So it's really performance portable for all the linear algebra routines we have tested our code on. So now you might wonder how to run this code. So as I said, the last issue is usability, because if your code is too complicated to use, like if the users have to manually set the parameters and have to manually trigger the compute generator and the compilation process, they will just end up not using it at all. So here's the interface. Here's how the interface looks like. So we just declare some vectors and we fill them. And then we have this compute operation, which is meant as feeding the generator with some expression trees. So the expression trees that is passed into the custom operation is then forwarded to our compute kernel generator. And then the compilation is processed and the operation is executed when calling the member function execute. The first benchmark actually does a pretty cool stuff in that for the right-hand side, 2x plus y, it is able to optimize the code and load x from global memory only one time. So we can expect better performance than using standard blast calls here. And the second problem is that, yeah, I talked about scalability. It's a bit short, so I don't have a lot of time to dive into this issue. But the point is that if you want to use all the resource, if you have some GPU and you want to use all your nodes' memory, then you will need to do some blocking to divide the matrix at the node level and to forward each subtask into a given GPUs or into a single GPU serially. So actually, this is what this multi-matrix class does. So it's able to deal with blocking internally. Again, here doing some tricky operator overloading, it's able to deal with the temporaries A plus B and A minus B at the block level rather than at the whole multi-matrix level. So what you get if you run these results? So the first thing I'd like to point out is this steep curve, which shows very low performance for CPUs. It actually results from the OpenCL overhead, because when you launch a kernel in OpenCL, you get some maybe 10 microseconds to 100 microsecond overhead. So for very small problems, it's actually the limiting factor. It's the bottleneck. But overall, on big problem size, we can see that the optimizations we can do for the temporary removal is actually useful and leads to twofold improvements over MK libraries or NVIDIA GTX Kublas or CLAMD Blast. Now, if you want to run some big matrix doing some blocking, then it appears that the transfer of memory will really not be a problem, because this is such a compute-intensive task. So you almost get a linear speed up. So this is single precision matrix-matrix multiplications. So what's important is that if you use multiple GPUs, then each of these GPUs will have custom code and custom optimized code to run at its full performance. So you can use multiple GPUs from different generations or even different hardware, different vendors. So again, removing the temporary from A plus B and A minus B, we are able to have a much higher memory usage, and we are able to deal with 30,000 by 30,000 matrix, which is kind of big using GPUs. Oops. So to summarize, so we present here another tuning framework, which is able to adapt the underlying hardware It's actually not complicated to have a QSOM profile for every BLAST operation, vector addition, matrix vector multiplication, or matrix multiplication. It's actually in one day you can build a parameterized kernel, and then you run the auto-tuning procedure and you're done. But the auto-tuning procedures takes hours and days or even months if you want to optimize it properly. So it's a big area of you to work. Another area is fully transparent use, because you don't want to rewrite all your code base to be compatible with the GPU. So this is an issue I might talk about tomorrow in the future work session. And finally, it's open source, so if you want to get the code, it will be released in mid-July. Thank you.
It occurs to me that this is a problem that parallelizing front-end compiler and back-end that use the annotations from the compiler and provided runtimes for many targets, which would at runtime have to deal with load balancing issues because higher priority things are using the fast GPU and you have to use the slow one, that this isn't a static problem, and some framework and system is going to have to be made for this.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, the load balancing issue of the multi-GPU case, we have not looked deeply into this. But we use some straightforward dynamic load balancing when every time a GPU is ready, it takes the current task. But it does lead to some load balancing issue. I've shown quite an ideal case where you have some sort of linear speed ups. But for example, if you end up using some GTX 470 with some super modern HD 7970, you might have some load balancing issues, or even memory transfer, which also had quite overhead. So I think, yeah, there were some models proposed for scheduling earlier by data-driven parallelism, for example. So yeah, that will be possibly an area of future work. Actually, yeah, this is just sort of to present what we can do with auto-tuning, but we have not really looked deeply into both the auto-tuning procedure and the load balancing issue. We just aim at providing that it's possible to have portable performance using a single interface.
Okay, I have two questions that are related. Did you exhaustively explore the search space, and how did you kind of define the search space in the first place? Was that based on your experience hand tuning?
The first space, the search space, we based it on an AMD. AMD matrix multiplication optimization paper. We gathered a lot of papers from NVIDIA optimizations, AMD optimizations, and we sort of coupled this all together. And we end up having some idea of what the search space could be. And then with the standard search space, we ran it on an Intel CPU, and we got sort of disastrous results, like 20 gigaflops. So what we wanted to do at this point was to use more of our experience. Like, for example, on CPU, maybe it's more effective to have a single blocking rather than double blocking strategy, these kind of things. The point of the auto-tuning procedure is that there is some, it's actually current research, and there are some people who are working on this so that using, for example, machine learning or genetic algorithms so that you don't have to set lower and upper bound for the search space. It's pretty tedious. It's most of the work I've shown is showing hours and hours of manually tuning the search space.
Uh, Okay, one more question. I'm wondering how this relates to things like Spiral. Have you seen that, for example? And these other auto-tuning frameworks?
Yeah, I've heard of this. Spiral is, as far as I know, deals only with CPUs and for signal processing applications. So we are sort of extending the analysis to dealing with very hybrid architectures, because CPUs and GPUs are so much different. And tomorrow, people will have to deal with FPGAs and DSPs on OpenCL. So I think there is some need to deal with multiple architecture, very heterogeneous.
All right, let's thank our speaker again.
Thank you.